And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. The St. Mary's Dance Group returned to the Shumai Festival in Bethel after more than a decade away. As Adeline Baxter reports for KYUK, this year's festival is dedicated to the group's founder, Moses Pacon Sr.
It's opening night of the annual Shumai Dance Festival in Bethel, and half of the members of one of the featured groups aren't here yet. Inside the Bethel High School green room, where dancers wearing kusbucks and fur-lined headdresses gather to prepare for their performances, St. Mary's dance group leader George Beans and festival organizer Linda Curta are trying to buy more time.
Okay, so guess what? I'm going to go talk to these guys and see if I can get them to move up.
Weather delayed the afternoon flight scheduled to bring the rest of the dancers from the Yukon River community about 100 miles away. Travel hiccups are just another part of life on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and the St. Mary's dancers are used to delays. It's been more than a decade since the group performed here. This year's festival is dedicated to one of the group's founders, Moses Pacon Sr., a former state representative and longtime school board member in the community. Pacon died in 2017. He was meant to be recognized at the 2020 festival, but it was canceled last minute due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, finally, his wife Martha and some of his children have traveled to Bethel to receive the dedication and to dance. And Bean says it's about time.
Yeah, I've been put off for a few years, so now it's got to be the real deal now.
Luckily, Shumai's organizers are no strangers to improvising. Still, after rearranging the dancer's schedule and inviting a few unplanned speakers to the stage, they've pretty much exhausted all their options. Then, Curta takes the mic.
Guess what? St. Mary's is here.
Dancers and drummers pour onto the stage. Without pausing, they take their places, and the Yarok begins. One of the songs they perform was written by Pacon. He wrote many songs for children during his life and encouraged the youth to keep dancing. Today, the group has more than 20 members, from teenagers to octogenarians. Isabella Peterson is 16. This was her first Shumai. Despite the delays, she says it was all worth it to step out onto the stage in Bethel.
It feels pretty amazing to dance in front of many other people and to see other dance groups dance and perform.
Pausing from her dancing, Martha Pacon accepts a plaque for her husband and leads the room in the Lord's Prayer in thanks. The audience, young and old, join in.
Your legacy, Moses, your spirit lives on in the dancers of St. Mary's.
In Bethel, I'm Adeline Baxter.
In 1974, former Rep. Thelma Buchholz made history as the first Filipino to be elected to the Alaska Legislature. Now, almost 50 years later, Rep. Genevieve Mina is making history as Alaska's second. KTOO's Tasha Elizarde spoke with Rep. Mina about her journey to the state capitol and the importance of Filipino representation in Alaska.
It's a Saturday night in February at Juneau's Filipino Community Hall, and Representative Genevieve Mina is on the mic. The karaoke machine is blasting, and a quintet of Filipino community members are excitedly dancing backup behind Mina. Earlier that night, local cultural organization Filipino Community Incorporated, also known as PhilCom, installed their next board of directors and introduced Mina, who is the second Filipino to be elected to the Alaska Legislature since Thelma Buchholz 49 years ago. At the ceremony, Mina addressed a crowd of legislators, staff, and PhilCom members about the importance of Filipino representation in politics.
Filipinos are the biggest immigrant community in Alaska. However, we don't often see our stories and we don't often see ourselves in government, in pop culture, and in representations where we really want to see who we are.
Mina's own journey to representation was an unexpected one. She took office in January, representing parts of East Anchorage for House District 19. And despite being elected at age 26, Mina didn't always plan to go into politics. Back at her office in the Capitol, Mina said it was her desire to break out of her shell that got her more and more involved in the Anchorage community. And as the people she met encouraged her to run for office, Mina began to see it as a real possibility.
The more that I realized how much I loved doing this type of work of talking with people, building relationships, making policies into reality and leading groups, the more I felt that it was a natural fit for me to eventually run one day whenever the timing was right.
And Mina is no stranger to community service. When she was a preteen, she helped her mother and a group of Filipino-American assisting living home administrators sue the state of Alaska for shutting down their care homes. And while they lost the case, the experience shaped Mina's love for healthcare policy and eventually became grounds for her later aspiration to work in politics.
You know, it was really gratifying and fulfilling to be able to help someone understand what is going on when they're trying to deal with a very difficult system.
Both Mina's passion for healthcare and for the Anchorage community come from her parents. Her mother, an Ilonggo woman who was the first in her family to go to college, became a nurse. And her father, an Ilocano who migrated to California, fell in love with Alaska after working in the state's canneries. And it's stories like that of her parents that inspired Mina to file HB 23, which would officially establish October as Filipino American History Month in Alaska. Mina is especially inspired by the story behind former Representative Thelma Buchholz, who is one of the first Filipino American women to be elected as a legislator in the U.S.
To learn about Thelma, to see the pictures of her talking to tall white men who have, you know, been in the building for a long time, and that was the first time that I really saw myself.
Back at the Filipino Community Hall, Mina shared her sentiments to an approving crowd. She pushed fellow legislators to consider what they can do for Filipinos in Alaska.
It's one thing to come to our events and to come to our dances, to eat our food, to say you love adobo and pancit, but our community also has needs, and our community also has issues that we're working through that are complex.
And most importantly, Mina challenges others to see the Filipino community as who they fully are. In Juneau, I'm Tasha Elizarde.
Last week, President Joe Biden presented Medals of Honor for Arts and Humanities. Sharing the stage with celebrities like Sir Elton John and Julia Louis-Dreyfus was Sean Spruce, host of the public radio program Native America Calling.
Being there at the White House and just, you know, as a Native person, you feel a bit conflicted, right? Because you know the history there, you know where the building stands. But, you know, I understand the United States is not a perfect country, and is they the treatment of our people has had, you know, we all know the history and the stories there. But at the same time, we're Americans, and I'm proud to be an American. And that day there in the White House, I've never been prouder.
Spruce is Laguna Pueblo. The Daily Call-In show he hosts won a National Humanities Medal. It's produced by Kwanic Broadcasting Corporation, based in Anchorage. Native America Calling has been around for almost 30 years. It airs every weekday on almost 150 stations. More than half of them are Native-owned or controlled. Spruce attributes the show's success to finding cohesive themes for Native communities coast to coast, while also recognizing the nuances and differences that exist across Native America.
If you're a Native person, you listen to that show, and it might not be a show topic that definitely correlates directly with your community, but we always give every Native person something to take away from every one of these shows, something for them to connect with.
12 National Humanities Medals were also given out this year. Native American educator Henrietta Mann was also a recipient. The Cheyenne Elder created many Native American studies programs at both tribal and state universities. In Juneau, the weather is expected to remain clear and sunny, so get out and enjoy it. That's all from the KTOO newsroom.